We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
It's a big opportunity here. If I could help repackage this type of food in a fun, friendly, approachable way, there's a big need and a big opportunity and a big impact. And so I really became passionate about trying to bring a concept to life. And so that's when I think I crossed that line between idea, maybe interesting, to, hey, I'm going to make this happen.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. We are months into the COVID-19 pandemic at this point, and people everywhere are forming new habits, some healthy, some not so much. But consumers continue to look for ways to improve their diet, seeking out alternatives to meat and dairy as a way to complement a healthy and balanced lifestyle. TK Pillen is a health and wellness enthusiast on a mission to encourage plant-based eating whenever possible. He founded Veggie Grill, a vegan restaurant chain that makes plant-based eating delicious and accessible while contributing to a healthier and kinder future and planet. TK joins Retail Gets Real today to discuss consumer demand for sustainable plant-based dining options and how he's building a healthy food empire. And my co-host today is Jill Dvorak from NRF's content team. Welcome, both of you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Hi, Chris. Great to be back.
Thanks. TK, you graduated from MIT, is that right?
That is correct.
How do you go from graduating from MIT to a vegan empire?
Not directly.
Okay.
Do not pass go. Collect 200. Yeah.
I did work in the technology world about 15 years. I worked in systems integration, ended up starting an e-commerce development firm in the mid-90s. And so it's one of the, it was on that first wave of how do you conduct business online and how do you create content community commerce and how do you bring it all together with back-end systems and front-end consumer interfaces. And so we grew very quickly, and I jumped on that because when I discovered the internet, I just saw it as a better way to do business. And luckily it was. And so we grew very quickly, and I ended up selling a piece of the company in 99 and then sold out completely in 2004. And so that's when I had some time to step back and think about what I wanted to do next. And had a little bit of a blank slate. And that's when I started really honing in on all of the issues this country has around health and wellness. And it was just starting to come to light back in 2005 when I was starting to look at the world, and dependence on pharmaceuticals and healthcare costs was just starting to really become an issue that people talked about. Super Size Me had just come out. Fast Food Nation had just come out. And, you know, through a few different channels, I got really honed into, hey, you know, people eat out. It's such a fundamental part of American culture. I eat out a lot, and I try to eat healthy. And back then, healthy had a certain definition for me, and that definition has changed quite a bit. But even back then, I just couldn't find places I really thought were enjoyable, convenient, and healthy. And
The convenience thing, and I'm sure, I mean, when you're working in the tech world, it was, you know, go, go, go all the time, and you don't have time to, it's probably hard to find time to pay attention to things like health. And so you're looking for what is the easiest way I can fuel myself that will also be healthy.
Yep, exactly. And so that kind of problem really bugged me, the fact that, why can't I do that? And so that's where it started. And so I started doing my own research as to, hey, you know, can healthy, delicious, convenient food or healthy fast food actually exist? What could it look like? And because I saw the broader trend of where this country was going health-wise, and on a side note, my mom was a holistic nutritionist, and so I always knew food was a solution to preventing illness. And so, you know, I kind of honed in on, hey, fundamentally, there's a big problem. People just don't have access to healthy, delicious, convenient food. And I'd like to try and solve that problem. So that's how it started.
Wow. So what was the first step in creating this? There's food, there's real estate, there's employees, there's a supply chain. Like, you don't, you know, what is it? 95% of restaurants the first year you know, it's a make it or break it year. So how, what was that first step? And did you have advice? Did you just, I mean, at that point, I guess you couldn't Google it, but you could have, you know.
Yeah, I would say, I think everybody in the retail world knows, and I heard it early on, retail is detail. And I got pretty entrepreneurial, pretty hands-on. And the first thing I did, after I kind of, the first thing I did was kind of validate, is it just me or do more people want healthy, delicious, convenient food? And I kind of validated that based on some market studies that were out there. Whole Foods was just starting to go into its high growth mode. And so, you know, I kind of concluded, hey, it's not just me. People do want this in the world. And so I decided, okay, let me see who's out there. What are they doing? Right. I think that's fundamentally, we're in the retail and restaurant world. You can do your market research pretty effectively by just going and visiting everything out there that might be trying to solve that problem. So I basically visited every healthy restaurant I could find back in 2005.
And luckily, a real trial for you.
Luckily, I was based here in Southern California. So we're a little bit more progressive on that healthy restaurant side. And so I actually found a list of healthy restaurants on a site called City Search at the time, you know, was your city guide, and ended up driving all across Southern California. And I was looking for, hey, does it actually exist? If it does exist, what does it look like? And then can you actually, is this something that could be scaled? Is it popular? Is it convenient? Is it, you know, what, so that was kind of my first step to just kind of do my own research to determine, hey, is this problem being solved? And if it is being solved, can I help scale it?
So, but how did you define your target market? Because I imagine in 2004, if there was research on how many vegans were out there, it was not maybe as big as you would have wanted, right? So how, and obviously the point of the healthy, you know, vegan food is to not only have the sole vegans, right? It is to make food for everybody who would enjoy it. And how do you measure that market when, you know, the self-declared vegans are a small percent? I don't know what percent of the population it is, but I'd imagine maybe single digits.
So when I started, we weren't focused on the vegan market, and I wasn't actually vegan at the time either. So it was really about solving that quote unquote healthy eater or health conscious eater. And through that on the ground research, I actually ended up at these small vegan restaurants I had never heard of. Right. So that was my first exposure to the vegan world. And it really opened my eyes. And the first thing I noticed was, hey, some of this food actually really tastes great. Like when you use the right flavor profiles, the right textures, and the timing was good because some new products were just starting to come to market. Vegan food was just starting to evolve a bit. And so I was really surprised. So that was kind of my first light bulb of, hey, you know, maybe this is the solution. Like if, because vegan vegetarian food seems like it should be healthier. And so that kind of got me onto my next light bulb moment, was I started doing the research into vegan and vegetarian food because, hey, it sounds like it should be healthier. Is it really? And some data was just starting to come out around the strong health benefits of plant-based diets, along with their ability to help prevent your chance of some major diseases like heart disease, certain cancers. And that data was just starting to come out in 2005. Before that, people were wondering if you could get all the nutrients you need in a vegan diet. And the American Dietetic Association had just come out with a paper saying, not only can you get all the nutrients you need, but it actually reduces your incidence of several major diseases. There's a book called The China Study that just came out that laid out some pretty compelling data around the correlation between heavily populations that eat high proportions of meat and dairy and their incidence of heart disease and cancer. And so there's enough data that it's like, I should try this myself. So I became a plant-based eater. And within 3 months, I had lost 20 pounds. My energy was just probably double what it was previously.
This is very relevant in COVID times, TK.
just felt great. So it really worked for me. So that was my second light bulb moment was, hey, this actually, to me, it was almost like when I, like when I discovered the internet, it's like, wow, this is a better way to eat, right? Once you like learn how to eat these new foods and you have to kind of rewire yourself because we're so programmed to eat what we always eat and it starts engendering certain feelings when we have certain foods. And so it does take a while to reprogram that. Actually, my wife, she's always been a vegetarian. When we first got married back in 2000, she asked me if I could give up meat, and I thought about it and I said that, and I don't think so because I just enjoy it so much. But after I read that data and I made the switch and I felt great. And after about a month, I really didn't miss meat at all and really had developed new habits and new favorites. And so I became a big believer in plant-based eating. And I also learned about the environmental side of it and all the destruction factory farms produce to the environment and also their treatment of animals. And so I became really passionate about, hey, I would love to help more people eat more plant-based foods because I started with that broader problem I was trying to solve, which we talked about, just healthy, delicious, convenient food. But then I really got passionate about the benefits and impact I could create around bringing plant-based foods to mainstream eaters. And so, I think, that first problem, I'm not sure I really would have followed through on it. Bugged me enough to do the research. But then once I discovered all of the benefits of plant-based food, I think I developed quite a passion. And then the third light bulb was I started bringing friends of mine to some of these restaurants who kind of came from the same profile I did prior to my shift in diet, and where they were not vegan or vegetarian, but were in their 30s, trying to get a little bit more health conscious, starting to see what happens when when your metabolism slows down, you can't work out, 2 hours every day, which is where I was, in my early 20s and teens. And so, and the feedback I got was, hey, yeah, this food actually tastes great. And I'd eat this a couple times a week, but you know what? I wouldn't walk into this restaurant on my own. Feels like I have to be a vegan and have to sign a petition. And so that was the third light bulb. It's like, wow, big opportunity here. If I could help repackage this type of food in a fun, friendly, approachable way, there's a big need and a big opportunity and a big impact. And so I really became passionate about trying to bring a concept to life. And so that's when I think I crossed that line between idea, maybe interesting, to, hey, I'm going to make this happen.
Now, do you have a cooking background at all? Like, was this remotely possible, or were you thinking, I'll go outsource the recipes, I'll outsource the, ingredients, all of that? Like, was that in your wheelhouse or no?
Nope. I had to.
Nope. Didn't cook.
I'm not a cook.
Someone needs to try everything. It's a very important job.
As we mentioned, I did eat out a lot, so I was a very experienced QSR and fast casual restaurant diner, but doesn't make you a restaurateur by any means. But I was smart enough to go find some partners. And so I was really entrepreneurial and visiting these restaurants. And I was working with another partner who came from a little bit more of a finance real estate side. But then we found a third partner who had been a restaurateur, had launched three or four of his own vegan restaurants. And thought he was doing a great job with the food, but didn't have an environment or concept that would really allow it to cross over to the non-vegan vegetarian crowd. And so sat down with him and really said, hey, love what you're doing, think it's great, but would love to create a concept that could bring it to a much larger audience. And here's the vision, here would be the plan, here's a little bit of how we would think about architecting this brand and menu and concept. And hey, we're going to do all of the things outside of the restaurant. You do what you do great, which is create delicious food and help us figure out the core pieces of running a restaurant. And we'll do everything to make this a scalable mainstream brand that we could bring across the country was the vision. And luckily, we had enough synergy, both from personality standpoint, but also from more importantly, our values were fully aligned. That's what he wanted to do. And he really believed in our ability to help do the things he didn't necessarily want to do as a pure restaurateur who wasn't as focused on building a national brand. And so the partnership worked out great. And so we all partnered together, and I spent most of my mental energy trying to come up with the brand concept, and the overall ambiance and menu design and actual menu items, but without cooking them. But like, what is the consumer? What is our non-vegan, vegetarian, health-conscious consumer? What's going to get them to walk in the door and give us a try? Because we knew the vegans and vegetarians would make it in, but we really wanted to get past that veto vote. And luckily, we designed it and architected every piece of it, every piece of the concept, that it did work.
So how has the past 8 months, 9 months almost, how has this affected your business? And, you know, I know some of the restaurants are closed with local, you know, orders right now, and many of them are still open. How have you been doing, and the staff, and how's it going?
Yeah, it is hard for sure.
It's tough.
The first couple of weeks, we were down -65%, and just like everybody, just figuring out what we needed to do to keep our team members safe and keep trying to operate. And but we, just like a lot of entrepreneur, restaurateur, and retail operators, we did what we needed to make it through. And and we also really obviously pivoted heavily into delivery and takeout. Luckily, we already had 50% of our business was takeout, and so we did have business already in place. And so we certainly leaned into that, put family meals deals together, started innovating with some new menu items, creating some more menu news. And so luckily, we've made a strong comeback. We launched a new menu over the summer. Our suburban locations have come back strong. We have a handful of suburban locations that are now positive year over year. Urban locations obviously are still challenged because a lot of office workers still aren't coming back. But we feel fortunate that we were able to adapt, and we're still not 100% back, but we certainly feel encouraged by the response and the fact that we do have a place in the world. People do value what we provide enough to keep us going.
So you did not have a delivery option pre-COVID, but then had to pivot and partner with a delivery?
We did have delivery. We did, good. But we obviously leaned in.
Had to lean in much harder. Wow, that is, yeah, it was very, very rough for obviously many retailers, but the food service being deemed essential was obviously a blessing for you guys as well.
It was, but there was so much ingenuity that had to be, demonstrated on the fly. I mean, such agility and, okay, we're going to figure out the delivery options. We're going to figure out our curbside pickup options. You know, I'm going to figure out the dining pods, all of those things.
And the supply chain, right? Everything was taxed on the supply chain on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it took certainly a lot of, took the entrepreneurial spirit, and along with a great team, and luckily we were able to get through it and are still here and feel good about our future.
I'm imagining a lot of your success rides on your partnerships too. Can you talk a little bit about some of the partnerships that you all have developed?
Sure. Yeah, we're part of our platform is, well, our ultimate mission of our menu is to provide the best the plant-based world has to offer and help people begin, advance, and embrace their plant-based journey. And we do that by offering kind of a full spectrum of plant-based items from clean whole food, clean whole food plant-based options that really are represented in our bowls and our salads. But we're also experts at working with the latest and greatest new plant-based products. And we combine that with our culinary expertise. And so we have a platform where we're releasing, we're curating and putting into familiar form factors great new products. We launched Beyond Meat. We were the first restaurant to launch Beyond Meat. And then we were the first restaurant earlier than that to launch Daya Cheese, which was the first meltable cheese. We've been working for a long time with Gardein on their their chicken products. We just launched Good Catch's tuna fish, first plant-based tuna fish served on a large scale at restaurants. And so we're out there, you know, part of our platform is we give consumers the latest and greatest, and then we give the suppliers a platform to launch great new plant-based products. And there's a lot of new ones being developed, which is great because consumers are starting to want more plant-based. A lot of great companies and entrepreneurs are creating those products, and we're definitely a big piece of that ecosystem for them to reach the consumer.
It's really interesting. I wish you had one in DC or Alexandria, Virginia. Yeah.
I'm so intrigued by, you know, you're talking about you really just wanted to take it mainstream, and like from the get-go, you were thinking about how can we grow? It's not like, well, we'll open one and see how it goes. You were like right away, no, I want to make sure that this is, you know, like you say, accessible. And I'm so interested by that idea of trying to make it a place where if I'm not vegan, I feel comfortable walking in. I don't feel judged. I don't feel like, what is all this weird stuff on the menu? I don't understand this. I mean, I was looking at your menu and it was like, oh, tuna salad. I like tuna salad. Num, num.
Yeah, I think that actually is a little bit of the benefit I come from not being a restaurateur or a foodie. Yeah. So I represent intrinsically the consumer.
Yeah.
100%, because that's, I'm not in the kitchens and I don't come from a restaurant background. So that was the vision from the start, make sure we had something that would appeal to mainstream consumers just wanting healthy, delicious, convenient food. And I think we've continued to try and stay true to that. And certainly I've learned a lot about the restaurant business. So I keep that, certainly have that piece of it. But hey, we all know in the retail and restaurant world, it starts and ends with the consumer and the product you're offering. And you got to give them something that is unique in the world, or you're not going to be really create much value for yourself. And so that was the vision from the start. And I didn't get in the restaurant world just to have one restaurant. It was here to really make a big impact.
And how many are there now?
Oh, yeah. How many are there now?
Yeah, we're 33 right now. We were 37 pre-COVID. But yeah. We're going to move forward with 33 of them. So you use the term empire. I wouldn't, you know, it's a small.
Every empire starts small. It's okay.
Yeah, it's 33 it's more than we empire. Have. So it's an empire to this. Yeah.
But we did just make it over to Boston and New York over the last year and Chicago. So we spent our first dozen years growing up and down the West Coast. And now we finally made it to across the country. So we feel good about our growth in a post-COVID world. And so, yeah, we will be an empire.
That's amazing. How's that?
Well, we are almost out of time. But before we go, we have a segment called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
And it's real easy. We're just going to ask you a few quick questions and you answer the first thing that comes into your head. And Jill is going to kick us off.
I am. We'll start easy. Your favorite veggie grill order?
I like our house veggie burger. Good combination of a little comfort burger, but on the healthier side.
Love it.
Nice. What is the one app you cannot live without?
Waze.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a very good
caution,
one.
Caution. Something on shoulder, ahead. I love her.
The best part about Waze is that you can change the voice that talks to you.
Yes, that is pretty great.
That one I love. Okay. The surprise benefit of being stuck at home, COVID, is there any silver lining that you have had in this, you know, tough 8 or 9 months that you'd like to share?
I think certainly a lot of people have bonded with their families more than they usually do.
Yeah.
Certainly I've spent a lot more time with my mother who lives nearby. And so I always visit her and make sure I'm there every day. That's probably the biggest silver lining.
That's amazing. That's a great silver lining. Not many men want to see their mother every day. So your mother is very lucky. Very lucky. All right, Chris.
Okay, last thing. What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
First thing is I drink about 16 to 20 ounces of water.
Oh, that's good.
You put lemon in it? Is it warm or is it just like room temperature?
Just room temperature.
Excellent.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. I'm always asking people if they're drinking enough water. It's very important.
I am not. What is the proper amount of water we are supposed to drink? That's actually, sorry, one more. Is it like our body weight in ounces? Is that right? I need to know.
Yeah, I don't have the answer. I just drink a lot.
That's good. If you think you're not drinking enough, you're probably not.
Yes, that's a good point. That is a good point. This is awesome.
So glad you could join us. Where can listeners go to learn more about Veggie Grill?
VeggieGrill.com. Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you, TK. Thank you, Jill. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at nrf.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.